But at the commencement of this familiar chapter, this chapter 6 of John's Gospel, we find the Saviour preaching to the multitude. And as he finishes preaching his message, he is aware that they are in need of food for their physical bodies. And therefore he does that which only the Son of God could do. And thus he takes those 5 small loaves and the 2 fish. And he blesses it. And he feeds a multitude of around 15,000 people. After this, the people were satisfied. The disciples then took up the 12 baskets filled with that which was left over from this miracle which had been performed. This remarkable miracle served a life-sized illustration for a sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to preach, a portion of which we have read together tonight. In this passage, we are presented with a portrait of Christ as he is presented here before us as the bread of life. This is an interesting portrait of Christ, since bread is a substance known and used by every society all across the face of the earth. Yes, that is right. From the French man who goes to the bakery every morning to buy his bread fresh, from that to that one that lives even in deepest, darkest Africa in a primitive way and cooks his daily ration of a bread-like substance there over a stone on an open fire. Bread is consumed by people all across this world. Some people enjoy their bread. Others like meat and don't like their vegetables. But most people love their bread. Bread is one of the few foods that can be tolerated by most digestive systems. It is a satisfying quality that few other foods possess. Bread is good. It is a food that most people need and oftentimes enjoy. When we take time to consider the many virtues of bread, it becomes clear then that why the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself here as the bread of life. And this evening, as we take time to examine these words of our Lord, I want you each one to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is still the bread of life. He is still the answer, even this very night, to this world's needs. He satisfies all those who will partake of him. There isn't a person in this world tonight that cannot tolerate him. There isn't a person who won't enjoy him. And here's the caveat: when they come to a personal knowledge of him. And therefore I want us to center our thoughts tonight for our few remaining moments together upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And I want you to note first of all the personality of heaven's bread. There in the verse 33 we read, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light, life into the world." Heaven's bread is a person, and according to these verses, the bread of heaven is not a system, it's not a denomination, but he is a person, namely the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this truth simply serves to remind us that we can never be saved by some sort of religious system, some sort of a method. Salvation comes to us tonight through faith alone in Christ alone. Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." This heavenly bread has power to save. It has power to secure, to satisfy every sinner who comes to him by faith. And this is what separates the Lord Jesus Christ and this gospel of which we preach tonight from all other religious and self-proclaimed messiahs across this world. While they promise great things, ultimately they can only deliver death. We're reminded there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Christ, on the other hand, he promises life. He promises salvation, security, satisfaction, and absolute safety for the soul of man. And he delivers every time. I don't know about you, but that is the kind of Savior that I seek to present tonight. That is the kind of Savior that I desire to serve. to give my heart and life to. This bread has promise. Verses 47 through to 51, these verses tells us of heaven's bread will give man life, give man eternal life. You know, physical bread can only sustain life for a period of time. Perhaps you had the toast this morning before you came to church, and then you were here to lunchtime, and by the time you got home, you're ready for something more to eat. You're ready for the lunch. You're ready for the dinner. It only satisfies for a time, the physical bread. And Jesus, however, after a time, the body will still die, even though it has been well fed. Jesus, on the other hand, is that bread that gives that everlasting life. When the Lord Jesus Christ is received, he gives salvation that lasts eternally. Nothing can ever take that away from the saint of God. The simple fact is that every person who places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation will be saved eternally. Heaven's bread cannot be enjoyed, or rather can be enjoyed by the sinner. But you know, before it can be enjoyed by the sinner, it must be received by him. You know, we think of the little children's chorus, "I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he did not owe." And this is a simple enough thing, but many seem to struggle with this very simple fact. They can believe that Jesus Christ was real, that he died upon the cross, he shed his precious blood, and even that he has arose again from the dead, he has ascended into heaven. However, to make this his sacrifice and salvation, he offers to you it as a reality, and it didn't come without price. Many would pay their way, but they can't accept that the price has been paid, that Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. We must come to him by faith alone and be born again. Let me give you an example. Perhaps you arrive into your own home, maybe you're married to a woman that's a great baker. And you come home and you can smell the fresh bread coming across the hall from the kitchen. Oh, and it smells great. While it's baking there in the oven, you then go in and you sit down at the table after a hard day's work perhaps. And she comes and she sets this lovely bread out before you. And it's all sliced up. It's sitting there in the plate before you. But you still have to reach out and take it for yourself if you're ever going to enjoy it. And you know, salvation works in the very same way. The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to save the sinner. But you must reach out by faith. Receive him tonight, even if you're ever going to be saved. He died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he calls to you tonight. Come. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Before you can be saved, you have to come to him by faith. Oh, it won't cost you a penny. Isaiah reminds us, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat." However, notice verse 47, to be saved, you have to believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And you know, this word simply means to rest the totality of your weight upon him. It isn't Christ plus this or plus that or plus the other thing. It's Christ alone that will save the soul of man tonight. The personality of heaven's bread. But see also with me tonight the presentation of heaven's bread. You know, this is seen very clearly for us in the opening verses here of this chapter. Verses 1 through to 14. This miracle is an illustration. This feeding of the 5,000. Christ here, the Lord Jesus, is presented as a type of himself. He is shown there caring for the multitude, satisfying the multitude. And the inference is that Christ, like the physical loaves and fishes, is sufficient to meet the need of mankind. And you know, men and women tonight and young people, as you listen here, perhaps you think you can get your own way to heaven. You have many other plans and ambitions. And you think that that will ultimately lead you to heaven someday. You can satisfy your own eternal need. I want to remind you tonight, now none but Christ can satisfy. Only Christ, only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the all-sufficient Savior. Notice verse 11, how every man took as much as they would. They took all they needed. There was more than enough. And even today, the Lord Jesus Christ is more than enough. We think of the little hymn, He is my everything. He is my all. What about you tonight? What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? Oh, He is the all-sufficient Savior. Will you partake of Him? Oh, they took as much as they would, and there was 12 baskets left over. And after they had filled themselves, there was that abundance left over. Even though hundreds of millions of people across this world of ours have been saved by the grace of God, though millions have come, there's still room for one. And there's room at the cross, dear sinner friend, tonight for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for the needs of mankind. He is, just as if He is received, just like the bread on the mountain, by simple faith. All the multitude had to do was to reach out and take which the disciples passed by their way. And so it works, so it is for the sinner tonight. Will you receive Christ by faith unto salvation, even in this very car park, you can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We see this also, this presentation of the bread is illustrated by the manna. Look there in verses 30 through to 33, the Jews come to Jesus and request a miracle. They remind the Lord Jesus of the Old Testament miracle of the manna. And when the Lord Jesus told them that Moses gave the children of Israel manna. And they want to know what He is going to do. They challenge Him. They say, Lord, what are you going to do? Oh, Moses gave the children of Israel manna. What are you going to do for us? The verse 31. And Christ's response to them reminds them that Moses was not responsible for the manna, but it was the provision of the Lord. It was the provision of the Lord. He goes on to tell them the true bread from heaven is a person. In fact, it is the Lord Jesus Himself who is the bread of life. What is Christ saying? He's saying that the manna was a type of Himself. Notice the various ways which the manna speaks of Christ. If you want to turn back with me for a moment to Exodus 16, just as we consider this together for a time. Exodus chapter 16, and we look at a few verses there as we consider the various ways which the manna speaks of Christ. You see there in verse 14, it was small. It speaks of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His humility. He wasn't born in a palace of a king, but born rather in a manger. He never employed the riches at His disposal, but He lived a poor life during His time in this world. He came this way in order to identify Himself with sinners. He came to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We see also then there in verse 14, the manna, it was round. And this speaks of Christ's eternal nature. Christ did not have a beginning in Bethlehem, but yet He was always there. He has always been, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Christ is the eternal Son of God. There has never been a time that He wasn't there. There will never be a time when He will not be. He is the great I Am. We see also in verse 31 of Exodus 16 that the manna was white. And you know, this reminds us of the sinless, holy nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born without sin. He lived without sin. He died without sin. He was absolutely impeccable in His character. He was the sinless, spotless Son of God. He who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. There was no other good enough, the hymn writer says. to pay the price of sin. There was no other good enough but Christ alone. When we consider also this manna, how it speaks as a type of Christ, we see that it came at night. Exodus 16, 13 and 14. And Christ came into the world, and a world that was lost, a world in spiritual darkness, and gave them the light of life. We see also that the manna was misunderstood. It was misunderstood there in verse 15. By those who found it, they called it manna. And what does manna mean? Well, it means simply this: what is it? They didn't know what it was. And Christ, even today, is misunderstood by the very people that he came to save. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He is still misunderstood even to this very day. He is more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a mere good man who lived a good life. Friend, he is the Son of God. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We see also from this chapter in Exodus 16 and the verses 17 and 18 that it was sufficient for every man's need. This reminds us of Christ as the all-sufficient Savior, as we've referenced to already even in our message earlier. He meets the need of man's soul. Wherever you find yourself tonight, as long as you're in Christ, you'll find him to be sufficient. And if you're not tonight, you come to him, you'll find him to be sufficient to save your soul. Expect if you're out and about the roads these days, you've got release after lockdown. Perhaps you see those large trailers, those 40-foot lorries going up and down the road, being hauled day by day. Well, God provided the Israelites approximately 240 of those containers of manna every day for 38 years. We're reminded what a God it is that we serve. He is the all-sufficient Savior. The manna also was sweet. Verse 31 of Exodus 16. Those who partake of the manna found it sweet and satisfying. How sweet the name of Jesus is to the believer's ear. What is Christ to you tonight as you listen in? All who receive the Lord Jesus will find him to be sweet to the soul, satisfying to the life. That is why we're encouraged by the psalmist David to taste and see that the Lord is good. We see also that the manna was to be kept and to be passed out to others. Exodus 16 and 32. And Christ in the same way is to be shared with those around us. And tonight, if you're here and you're saved, you should have that desire to share the good news of the gospel with those that you come in contact with day by day. Oh, there's much more we could say about the manna, but it is suffice. There's enough said, suffice for us to see tonight that the manna is a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in considering the presentation of heaven's bread that was illustrated by the miracle, by the manna, but also by the Master, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was that ultimate bread. He is that ultimate bread. The Israelites ate the manna there in the wilderness, and eventually they died. The crowd was filled there on the mountainside, but yet eventually they too died. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the anti-type of the manna, and all that he was and is, he exceeds. The Lord Jesus Christ is greater than the bread that was given out on the mountainside. And all who partake tonight of him will live forever. His guarantee is that they will never die. They will live eternally. This guarantee of eternal life comes to all who will receive him by faith. He said in John 10 and 28, I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the real bread. He is the bread of life after all. We've considered the personality of heaven's bread, the presentation of heaven's bread, but see also with me the performance of heaven's bread. You see, it grants salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, man can try anything any mode of salvation that they may desire. They can try many ways, and there's many people who seek to tell us that there are many ways to heaven. All roads eventually lead to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. Salvation will only ever be produced in the life of any person, anywhere, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith. You know, oftentimes as Free Presbyterians, we're accused of being bigoted or narrow-minded or over-simplistic. In reality, all we do is seek to be faithful to what the Bible teaches. That is how it always should be. God has revealed His plan of redemption in His Word from Genesis right through to Revelation. And you know, there are not many things tonight in life that we can guarantee. We don't know what will happen as days go on, as we come out of this lockdown, this coronavirus situation in which we have spent so much of this past year, in now over a year. We do not know what will happen to the economy, our land. We do not know even what tomorrow holds. But this we do know, that every sinner who comes to Christ by faith, repenting of his sins and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, plunged beneath the precious blood, will be saved by the grace of God and will live forever in heaven someday. We know this because we have the word of the Lord in the matter. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, heaven's bread gives that satisfaction. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are eternally satisfied. They no longer have to drink from those broken cisterns of this old world, all the attractions there are, the activities of this world, but rather they find themselves tapped in, as it were, into the source of eternal life, that blessing that never runs dry. And there's abundant satisfaction in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this world can never satisfy the longings of the human soul. Oh, there's seeking to know God or to satisfy the human soul apart from God, apart from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you're wasting your time. The only eternal security can be found is for those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need never fear of being cast away, forgotten about along the way, or in the end, lose out. You see, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees us that perfect security in our salvation because of our relationship with Him. You know, there's many who teach a gospel that you can lose your salvation. And how sad it is. You know, I'm sure there's many tonight in this car park, and they can testify perhaps in their time and a time in their life, and they weren't what they should have been. They lost out with God spiritually, they fell away. But you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ can lose His people along the way between here and when He receives us in heaven with a very poor Savior, once you're saved, you can never be lost. He saved us, and He will ultimately take us home to be with Himself someday. He keeps us. Many doubt the security. Their security as a believer, they feel that their security depends upon them and upon what they do. Friend, tonight, take heart. If this is you I'm speaking to tonight, if this is your problem, there's nothing in and of yourself that can keep this so great salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. It is a forever work, and it is granted even to you from Him. He keeps you. He does the keeping. Perhaps you say tonight, oh, Simon, I would love to be saved. I'd love to partake of this bread of life. I would love to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I couldn't keep it. Take heart tonight. Come to Him just as you are. He will receive you. He will change you. He will keep you. Oh, don't waste time trying to clean up your life before you come. You'll never come. Come as you are. Receive this bread of life tonight. You can do nothing of yourself. You cannot earn this salvation. You cannot keep it. Praise God, you cannot lose it. Salvation is totally a work of the Almighty God, and when he gives it forever. Those who are saved by the grace of God are absolutely secure in their salvation. In conclusion tonight, from these verses we've considered, it's plain to see that Christ, the Lord Jesus himself, is the only hope for this world. He is that only hope for the soul of man. That emptiness, that void within your heart and life tonight, that's something that you're missing. You feel that emptiness, as if there's something you're in need of tonight. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to you. Is he convicting you of your sinful ways? Bringing before you your need of him. Before a man can ever experience eternal life, the question comes to us, what will you do with Christ? You must repent of your sin. Turn away from it. Receive him. Have you ever received him into your heart and life? Can you say you are secure in his salvation this evening? Tell me, if something were to happen tonight and you never made it home, where would your soul spend eternity? Can you honestly say you'll be found in heaven because you've partaken of heaven's bread, this bread of life? Let me remind you, you're only saved if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner. You've confessed your sin, placed your faith in him alone for salvation. I trust tonight you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this bread of life, in a personal way. If not, you can. And you can come to him right now, even in the car where you sit. Perhaps you're listening in at home, even there in the kitchen. You can cry on to him now. Partake of the bread of life. Repent of your sin. Believe him. Receive him as Lord and Savior. Will you do as he bids you to do tonight? Will he do? Will you do as he calls you? Will you come to Christ tonight? Trust that you will. If I can be of any help to you, I'm your servant for Christ's sake. I'll be here for a time as we close up. Don't leave the car park tonight without getting the matter of your soul's salvation settled with the Lord. If you have got saved even in the car as you sit tonight, do let us know that we can pray with you and rejoice with you. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst.